dive into our series. We've been on a journey about called by name, that God loves to call us by name, that he calls us in the place where we feel hopeless. He calls us in the place where we're not sure if we belong, and he calls us to something or out of something. He calls us to purpose. And so we started off on that journey realizing that he calls us by name, that even when sometimes we don't recognize it in our hurts and our grief, like Mary Magdalene at the tomb, she didn't recognize Jesus until Jesus said, Mary, and then she's like, oh, I got it. And then he called her to purpose. And then last week we went on a bit of a journey, but this week, before we get there, I want to ask you a question. What was your favorite game as a young student or as a student, maybe a kid growing up? It was something you liked to play. Maybe for some it was tag. I wasn't really built for tag. I was more built for like running through things. I had about 100 meter speed, and then after 100 meters, the car started to fall apart. I was talking to Pastor Josh about this. You couldn't imagine, but I was actually a pretty good sprinter. That's why I could play the other sports. But at like 90 meters, all of a sudden it was like, there's trouble. You know, the dash was going off. At 100, it was good, but at 105, all of it was falling apart. So tag wasn't really my style of game. Dodgeball I was decent at, but again, I was a big body, so it was a little easier to hit. But there was one game that I was pretty good at, even with my size, and I wonder if it was a game that you've played before, you enjoyed before, and it was hide and seek. I loved hiding. I loved sort of getting there, and I had to be, because I knew I wasn't going to outrun somebody for a long time, so I had to be a little inventive and find different ways to hide. And we would even play it in our churches growing up, with times where all the pastor's kids were there after, we would play hide and go seek, and I would find places throughout, whether it was cupboards or different places, cubbies, you would hide there, and you would just stay there. How many in this place have ever played hide and go seek? If you haven't, we'll play later, you know, we'll church-wide game. All the youth and kids have fun, we can have fun too. But in today's message, we see the truth that not only were we playing hide and go seek, but there was a people of God that they were playing hide and seek. They knew that if they were found, they were in trouble. But just like hide and seek, one of the moments that your heart starts to race really fast and really hard is when you're hiding behind something. It wouldn't hide behind this. But you're hiding behind something, and you know that the person who is pursuing you, the person who is after you, is about to get there. Have you ever had that moment? It feels like your heart's beating out of your chest. You hear, do, 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 do. Every step sounds a little bit louder. Every step sounds a little bit closer. And you're like, please don't see me. Please don't see me. And we kind of do those ostrich moments where, like, if I shut my eyes, you can't see me either. You laugh because you've thought it and done it too, haven't you? You're like, if I don't look at you, you don't see me. But in those moments in hide and go seek, one of the fun things that arises is there's a little bit of element of fear. And fear in our lives can be a good thing. It can stop us from getting harmed. But today I want to look at the truth that fear, unhealthy fear, when left undealt with, it can cause huge harm to our lives, and it can actually immobilize us from the call that God has on you. And we're going to look at an individual whose insecurity and fear had him in hiding. But God called him by name, a name that he is yet to know, a name that God saw the potential in this individual before he understood it. Like Moses last week, his insecurity rose up and he says, that's not who I am. I'm the weakest of the tribe and my tribe's the smallest. Don't choose me. And God called him by name, but not a name that he knew, but a name that he would become. And so this morning, if you're walking through seasons of fear, if you're walking through areas where you feel like you're not enough, today is a day for you. That as we dive into Judges 6 and we look at the life of Gideon, we're going to realize that today God is calling us out of hiding. If you're taking notes, that's the title of our message today, Called Out of Hiding. Because today I believe that God wants to call us out of hiding, call us out of our fear and into purpose. For some, he's going to call you into things, and I believe for others, he's going to call you out of things. And things where you've been held by fear and you've been hiding it from God or hiding it from yourself, I believe God is going to bring it to light and bring it forth, because today he's going to call you by name. So we're going to read from Judges 6, verse 1 to 4, and then we're going to jump to 11 to 17, and this is what it said, reading from the New Living Translation. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops from as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. Then the angel of the Lord, jumping to verse 11, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. I always say it wrong. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. Let's jump back. Gideon, the person we're going to lean into, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty warrior, mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Sir, Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us, and where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as you were fighting against one man." Gideon replied, "If you truly are going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me." So we're going to stop there. It's a large portion of text, but let's unpack this. Because I think there's some truths here that we can apply in our own lives. And the first is that Gideon in this moment is called out of hiding. Just like today, I believe he's calling us out of hiding. So where do we find the main individual of our account today? We see Gideon, who's battling with some of the same insecurities and doubts and measuring up and feeling like I'm not enough, that we saw Moses last week. We see him that he's threshing wheat, but is he threshing wheat in the threshing room in the area? No. He's doing it in a wine press. What do you do in a wine press? There, somebody had it. It wasn't a trick question. In the wine press, you make wine. The threshing floor, the threshing area, was usually put on a high place because what you would do is you would take the wheat and you would put it up and the wind would go and the wind would blow away the waste, it would blow away the chaff, and in those moments the good would fall down. So threshing wheat was not wise in the wine press because the wine press was made for making, there you go. So Gideon is hiding, and he's not using the purpose that he's doing, because all of the Israelites, because of what was happening in that time, because they weren't walking in God's plans, the Midianites were given permission by God to, in a sense, come down upon the Israelites. And in those moments, he's hiding there, and he's a little bit spunky, and I like that about Gideon. We realize he's not the biggest, he's not the strongest, but he's like, "I'm not backing down. I might be hiding a little bit, but there's still a little bit of spunk inside of me, and I'm going to get this wheat, and we're going to keep it. I'm going to hide it. They're not coming and getting mine." But he's still a little bit wise, and he's like, "I'm going to go to the wine press." So it's a hollowed out area, many times with a roof over the top or an area. It's cut into a pit or cut into a rock. And so in these moments, it's not the greatest place to do it, but why is he not living out the purpose? Why is he not living it to the fullest? Because of fear. How many times have we been a little bit like Gideon? Even for some of us who were like, "I can do this, I got strength, I'm gonna press through. I'm a little bit scared, but I'm pressing through." But in pressing through, we stop of where we were supposed to be. We stop of where God was calling us to. I don't know about you, but there's some times in my life where fear and doubts have held me back from doing things that I know I should have. Fear and doubt have held me back from experiencing great things, even just in the practical. There's times of wanting to go on, well, we worked through the kids. All of us have different fears. One of my fears, I'll give you a little insight, I don't really like snakes. That's it. I'm with you. We can fish, but we don't like snakes. And so in those moments, that's one of those areas, but I have some family members who don't really like heights. And so last summer, we convinced them all to go to Canada's Wonderland, and I'm like, "You don't want to miss out." So on that journey, I said, "We're going to do one roller coaster because I love heights and I love going fast." And I'm like, "Trust me, you don't want to let fear hold you back." So I decided and talked to them. I said, if we're going to do one, let's do the biggest one, the fastest one first. Because if you can make it through that, you can make it through anything. Everybody else have that thought process? And so we get on the Leviathan as we're there, and some of my family is looking at me like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. We've got this. And while they're on the stand getting ready to go, there was a look of like, Dad, I trust you, but I might want to kill you. And as we're there, they said, you know what? We got this. And they went through it. Are they still a little bit afraid of heights? Yes. Did they ride every roller coaster in the park? Yes. Did they want to get on in the next line and be like, I gotta go, this is so much fun. I don't really know, I'm kind of scared, but this is fun. In those moments, even in the practical, I know that's just something very simple, but how many times have we let fear talk us out of doing something that probably would have been good, enjoyable, or actually purposeful for our lives? In those moments, many of us, our unhealthy fears, they come from a place of that same thing. They come from a place of actually wanting to be in control. We love to desire to be in control and control the outcome. And when we don't know what is going to happen, we sit there and say, I'm not doing it. We go and hide. But in that moment when fear comes, we have to choose, who do I trust? Do I trust my control? Do I trust what I know? Or do I trust God? In those moments when we let fear, unhealthy fear, because there are some good fear when a stove is hot, when the trucks are going across the highway, you're not supposed to run, it's not supposed to be Frogger. In those moments, that is good fear. But unhealthy fear, it can actually, if we don't deal with it and learn to acknowledge it and deal with it, it will immobilize us and cause us to miss out on God's best for our lives. If you've ever been in a relationship, I remember those moments. If you've been someone who's proposed to another, it's scary. Jen and I were together for a long time. We were high school sweethearts. But in that moment, I remember being so scared to ask her parents, you know, for the permission to ask her to marry. It was a crazy day. We did all that. And even though I thought, and I was pretty sure the answer would be yes, in that moment when I kind of got down on one knee, I'm like, please don't say please. Please don't say no. Please don't say no. I could have let my fear and my doubt immobilize me and cause me to miss God's best for my life. So in the small things and big things in our lives, but also in our calling and what God's calling us to, many times we will allow fear or doubt about who He is, who we are in Him, and if we are enough, cause us to stay back from actually walking into all He had. And in those moments, think about this for a second. We even have acronyms or different things, the fear of missing out. Imagine as we look to the end of the account, if you didn't read the account, Gideon wins, they have a big battle, but he wins the battle with 300 soldiers, but they start off the journey with 32,000 soldiers, and God's first threshing in the moment of who is going to fight the battle is, if you are scared and you're scared to go to battle, you can stay home, and 22,000 say, I'm scared, I'm missing out. Fear caused them to miss out on being a part of the victory that God had already planned. How many victories have we missed out that God has already planned and orchestrated, but in that journey He says, are you too filled with fear, or are you going to trust me and you're going to step out, because the victory is already assured, but our doubts and our fear have kept us back at camp when He was sending us into battle. There was a real fear of missing out moment. But let's be honest this morning. We all have some unhealthy fears and doubts. To say that we don't, that's a lie. I have some fears. I have some moments, like I said last week, as I was vulnerable, when it would be in a real small, a smart room of pastors about praying in front of them. Initially, especially when I was a young pastor, I'd be like, please don't ask me, please don't ask me, and then they would ask me. There's small things, there's big things. There's things that God has planted in my heart as dreams for our church and dreams for our community. And some of those dreams scare me because they're bigger than me, they're bigger than us. We need to rely on God. But fear in those moments is us trying to control, us looking at us instead of us looking at God. us trusting what can I do, what's in my ability, and instead saying, God, what can you do? But here's good news. The good news is God sees beyond your fears. God sees beyond our fears. Because if you were to look at someone, I'm not going to make you do it, I'm not going to expose you like that. But if you were to say what you're scared of, not just heights, not just snakes, not just those things, but the big things, fear of failure, fear of losing reputation, fear of man, fear of all of those things. Some, for some, it's fear of success, fear of stepping out, fear of being seen. We wrestle with some of these big things that affect every relationship that we're in. They affect our relationship with God. They affect our calling and our stepping out into the calling. If we were to amount and say, I'm still struggling with this, today, if you are filled with fear and doubt, there is good news, and that good news is God sees beyond that fear. That thing that you feel disqualifies you, and you're like, I'm too scared to step. Pastor, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm scared to step out of it. I've been in this dysfunction for my whole life. It's a family line. I'm scared to step out into wholeness and health. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what it'll look like, but I want to step out, but I just can't. God sees you, and he sees beyond your fear. He saw beyond the fear of Gideon. He saw beyond the fear of the Israelites. And he still called him. He said, I see you battling with insecurity. I see you battling with doubts and fear. Oh, but I'm calling you. God sees your potential, the potential that he made for your life, that you were created for, and he begins to call us into it. That is the true identity of who you are in Christ, his perfect and pleasing and good plans for your life. Not maybe what you are feeling, not maybe what you are experiencing, maybe not what you are walking through right now. He sees beyond that. He sees beyond the hurt, the dysfunction, the insecurity, the fear, and he calls us beyond that. He doesn't call Gideon by name Gideon. What does he call him? He calls him mighty warrior, mighty hero. So just to be reminded, I want you to say, neighbor, say, neighbor, you're a mighty warrior. So they look to your other neighbor, say, neighbor, you're a mighty hero. Because that's the truth. God is declaring that, and he begins to call him that. Does Gideon respond in just, he's like, yes, I am. No. Gideon's like, pardon? Who are you calling? Like the guy in the wine press without any grapes? I've got the weed in here. I'm trying to make this all happen. God sees us in the moment where we are struck by fear, and he's not even calling us. Eventually, he calls us to be fearless, but he also calls us to be faithful. Because today, if you are struck by doubt, if you're struck by fear, it isn't about always jumping to being fearless. It's about being faithful in the midst of fear. It's being like my family going on the roller coasters. They're like, I'm not looking to the side. I'm not looking to the left, but I stepped in. And then they took to heart that don't put your arms and feet outside of the cart at all times. Keep hold of the thing. Lock on to everything. But in that moment, they were faithful to step in the midst of it. But today, if you know that, okay, I'm going to be faithful, but you go to step, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to be fearless. I'm going to be faithful. And you go to step, and you're like, oh, no. I'm not big enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not spiritual enough, you don't know my background. Ever have those doubts start running? Ever feel some of those doubts as they run rampant in our mind and in our heart? That's what's going on with Gideon in this moment. In this call, he gets called, he has a divine moment with God. God's meeting with him. He's meeting with the pre-incarnate. Many scholars and theologians would say he's encountering and meeting with the pre-incarnate Christ. And in those moments, we see he's having to call to faith, but he's like, I'm still scared. He's reluctant to respond. Why? Fear still has a grip. How many of us have been called to respond, maybe even to salvation? Maybe even today, God's working on your heart saying you got to respond to him. Come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you're like, I just don't know if I'm ready to give all that up. I don't know what that's going to mean. And we're reluctant to respond. He was reluctant. And in those moments, he asked these questions again that I think we ask many times. Who am I? Then it's, who are you, God? Where are all the promises? Where are all the things I heard about, the mighty works? I don't see it right now as I'm hiding in the caves. I don't see that moment. Who am I? I'm the smallest of the smallest clan. How could you use me? And then he shifts it to say, who are you, God? Who are you that you would show up? It doesn't feel like you're showing up right now. And then his final statement is, prove it. Ever ask God to prove it? I have. Way too many times. Even in coming here. It's great. I have a spiritual father who's here joining with us, Randy, and he walked through, and I remember making tons of calls about moving here. I'm like, God, what am I doing? What should I do? And I remember calling and asking him, I'm like, Randy, what should I do? What do you think? I'm like, well, maybe if this happens, that means I'm supposed to go. Because we were moving a family, we were moving a church that we loved, and we are so blessed that we did. We loved our church and continued to love where we were. Oh, but our hearts continue to grow and expand for all that God has here. But fear could have kept us where we were. It felt safe, it felt secure, but God was saying, go. But there were some seasons where I said, you know, prove it, God. Prove that I'm supposed to go. Fear in those moments changes our focus from God to ourselves. It makes us look inward instead of upward. I love what Henry Nouwen says. Fear is a great enemy of the spirit. It prevents us from being who we are meant to be. Let's think about that one more time. Fear is a great enemy of the spirit. It prevents us from being who we are meant to be. God has a plan for your life, from the youngest to the oldest in this place or online. He has ordained every one of your steps. He has a plan for it. It's perfect and pleasing and it's good. But fear will cause us from missing that. The Spirit wants to lead, direct, like we talked earlier in one of our series. He wants to guide, direct, be a lamp unto your feet. But will we allow fear to stop us from walking in step? And we need to be reminded that walking in faith doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means that you trust God more than your fear. So if you have a hard time stepping out, realize stepping out in those moments, there's still going to be times where you're afraid. That's okay. Used to say it when we were coaching. If you got those butterflies and you're a little bit scared before you step out on the court or on the field, that's good. But still step out. That's like our faith walk. There's going to be moments where God is calling you to step out and step into something different, something bigger than it seems that you can handle. In those moments, step out, but step out in faith. Maybe it's even just a shimmy. It's not a jump yet. You're just shimmying forward saying, I trust you, God, more than I trust my fear. I'm scared out of my mind, but God, I know that you are able to do abundantly more than I could ever dream or fathom. But how many know that even when you're like, yes, I'm going to step out. So Gideon's like, okay, I'm a mighty warrior. I'm going to do this. I've got this. Because you can just imagine. You got to have imagination. Gideon's kind of like, okay, I've talked to God. I believe this. I'm ready to go. He says, I'm a mighty warrior. Just like you all heard, and I can hear it. The first time you're like, mighty warrior. The second time it's like, I'm a mighty hero. You're a mighty hero. And you're starting to believe that truth in his life. He starts to believe that truth. He starts to step out. But how many know that it's a process? You're like, I got this, until the first time it gets scary. And you're like, no, I don't. No, I don't. And you run the other way. We've all been there. It's time to get real a little bit. You step out in the first kind of conflict, the first kind of trouble, the first kind of turmoil, the first wave that hits, and you're like, never mind. But there's patience in the process. Our second truth this morning is that in those moments where you've stepped out, in those moments where you're still hiding in the cave, when you're not sure that you are what God has said about you, when your feelings and your emotions and even some of the experiences that you are walking through right now don't line up with the truth of what God says about you yet, realize that God is not finished with you. God is not disappointed in you, but God is a patient God who is working with us on the process that we would move from fearful to faithful, from fearful to fearless. He is going to go with you step by step. As you get scared and as you step out, he is going to continue to elevate and challenge you in obedience to step the next step that's needed to get ready for the challenge that's in front. How many can realize that maybe 20 years you look back and say, I can't believe I'm here when I started here. When you were looking at the mountain in front of you of your spiritual journey or of your life journey, you couldn't imagine that God would use you and do these things in your life. But all of a sudden, step by step, the gradual step, the process, walking through the process, and now when you turn back, you're like, how did I get here? It's kind of like running a marathon. Paul reminds us that the race of faith is not a sprint. And on that, I'm like, oh, come on, Paul. I can do 100 meters well. But he said it's like a marathon, and we run it to win. So be patient in the process. Gideon calls these words as he was struggling, and he says, prove it, God. And what does God do? Proves it. I'm not saying that we should everything go and say, prove it, God. We should trust. But even in those moments where we're walking through the struggle and God knows that we're battling, he's patient with us. He's growing us. So today, if you've been walking through fear and doubt, you may not be able to jump from here to here, but be patient in the process. Take a step. He will guide with you. So he challenges them first to tear down the idols of to Baal and the altar for Baal. It's a big step because as he tears it down, but the funny part is God told him to tear it down. And when does Gideon wait to do it? At night. He's playing a little hide and seek. He's like, I don't want everybody to see what's going on, because if they see what's going on, I'm going to get in trouble. They're going to get mad at me. They're going to kill me. So in that moment, he waits till a little bit later, waits till nobody's watching, takes it down, and then it's kind of like, well, I don't know how that happened. And in those moments, but God protects them. God walks with them. What do you think started to happen to Gideon's faith in that moment? One step of obedience, one step of faith, faith starts to rise, because God will walk with you each step. If you have to go back, he'll walk with you each step. He is on the journey with you. He's not leaving you behind. He says, I will go with you. He wants us to be there. He's journeying with it. It's will we come in partnership with him? Will we obey what he's asking us to do? So in that moment, we see even the truth in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, and a sound mind. In those moments, God doesn't shame our fear. He actually patiently transforms it. Those areas where you're scared, I know it's hard for you to believe, but I actually am scared to speak in front of big crowds. I don't really like it. When I get up there, God uses it. But in those moments, I'd rather see what's going on, be able to gauge what's happening in all the rooms and situations before I get in those moments. I'm not a full extrovert by definition of who I am. So when there's a group, I'm like, okay, God, here we go. Let's do it. But in those moments, God will patiently transform our fear and transform us for his purposes. Believe that he wants to transform, because God desires to grow us and move us from fearful to faithful. We see again, it continues on. He did it with the altar of Baal. We see a little bit longer. He reassures with the fleece. He's like, do it this way, and hopefully it doesn't get wet or doesn't get dry. And then even Gideon, being a little bit of a slow learner in that moment, he's like, prove it again. Ever done that? God does exactly what you asked him to do, and you're like, well, I'm not sure that's you, God, so let's try it the other way. And then when he still does it, you're like, I'm still pretty scared. And then in that moment, he reminds him and strengthens him that just before the battle, he goes down and he hears the account of the interpretation of the dream saying that the Israelites will win the battle. God will walk with you every step of the way. He's reassuring, he's strengthening, he's reminding. You're not taking the steps out of fear and doubt yourself. He is walking with you. He's strengthening you by his Spirit. We see those moments that even before he went to battle, it said that he was clothed with power from the Holy Spirit. He's calling us to step out and to step in. But it's a bit of a process. But be patient in the process. Be patient with yourself and turn and trust God. So whatever you're holding on to, whatever you're sitting there saying, God can't use me, God, prove it. Today, trust him. Believe that you can move from filled with fear to filled with faith, that you can step out and step in. You can break free from some of the things that have been holding you back. And today, he will walk with you. He will move through you. He will give you the words to say and the actions to do. I don't know about you, but I want to walk into that. So today, as we get ready to land the plane, as we go to our final thought, what does it mean and what can we do to overcome fear in our lives? If we know that he's calling us out of hiding, he finds us in our mess and in our brokenness, he sees beyond it and he says, I see you. I'm calling you. And in the moment where you feel like you don't measure up, he's saying, mighty warrior, mighty hero, you've got a purpose, you've got a plan. Let's run out of hiding and go. Then he walks us faithfully through the process and he says, even when you turn, even when fear overcomes, even when doubt rages, I'm with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to keep proving to you, and I'm going to keep showing you, and I'm going to keep putting things in front of your path that as you step out in obedience, as you step out in faith in the small things, I'm going to keep bringing the steps a little bit further so you don't even realize that you're making it to the mountain top because you're just going through the process of growth. That's what he's calling us to. So what do we do? How do we do it on a regular basis? How do we overcome fear and walk into the fullness of what God has for our lives? Here's some practical thoughts. This isn't exhaustive, but some things that we can do. First one, acknowledge our fears. We've got to acknowledge that we're afraid sometimes, that we're battling with doubts and fear. We see David in the Psalms and the psalmist in the Psalms. We see Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 and 5. They declare the truth that in fear and trembling I came. I didn't know what to do, but in that moment it wasn't in my strength. It wasn't in what I could do, but I trusted in the Lord and trusted in his strength and trusted in the Spirit. Today, if you want to overcome fear, you first need to acknowledge that you're battling through it. You can't defeat or can't overcome something before you identify what you're up against. So today, if you're battling with some fears that have been talking you out of what God's asking you to, that are holding you in your fear and in your doubt, holding you in the cave when you were meant to be on the hill, acknowledge it. Say, no, I see it. I might not yet have the answer, but I acknowledge it. I don't want that anymore. Second thing, pray and ask God for help. Bring it to him. Write that down, that thing that you had, write it down on a piece of paper, write it in a phone, and then begin to pray daily over it and say, God, I don't want this anymore. It's been holding me back. It's been holding me captive. I've been hiding in the caves where he's calling me out of. He's calling me mighty warrior, mighty hero, but I don't believe it. I don't feel it yet. God, help me today. Give me the strength to overcome, to walk in faith when I'm filled with fear. Number three, place our faith in his truth. Don't place your faith in how strong you are and how big your clan is. How was Gideon's response? Like, do you see who you're picking? I'm not the biggest, I'm not the strongest, and even my clan, even my tribe, it's the smallest, like it's weak. Don't put your strength and base your strength and your faithfulness in who you are. Place it in his truths that don't fade away, that are a firm foundation. What are some things that you can place in it today if you're like, I don't know where to start? First one, he said it in his presence. God said, I will be with you. That truth resonates for everyone in this place. He will be with you. You're not walking out of fear, walking out of doubt by yourself, in your own strength. He is right there with you. He says, I will go before you. I will give you the battle. I will be the one who makes it so that when you're battling them, it's like you battled one. He declares that same truth over your life. Jesus' exact words are, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His presence is there. So when you're scared and you feel all alone and helpless at the end of your rope, be reminded today that he is with you. That's a promise. So you have his presence, you have his promises. His promises are laced throughout the scriptures. As we read through that, we can hold to those promises. Imagine what happened for Gideon. If we see in Judges 7:7, I'm not going to read it. God tells him, you will be victorious. He told him the end of the story. I don't know about you, church, but I read the end of the book. Guess what? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are victorious. You're not on the losing side, so you don't have to fear. In the middle of a game, the reason why we get tense, and it's the fourth quarter, and you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know if we're going to win or we're going to lose. You get fearful. You get anxiety. But guess what, church? You don't have to be fearful because you know the end of the game. You know that you win, that we win because He's already won on the cross. So the truth is, trust Him. He said it, believe Him. Over your life, you are the head, you're not the tail. So when your feelings are saying you're the tail, that you're not enough, realize that I might not be, but I don't boast in myself, but I boast in Jesus Christ, and He is more than enough. So we hold on His presence, we hold on His promises, and then we get to stand in His power. We may not be able to do it, but He can. God trimmed the army down. If you read the whole account through those two chapters, starts with 30 plus thousand, 32,000 ready to go to battle. Then He wades them down, to 10,000. Then He wades them down to 300. Can you imagine being one of those 300? You're like, I was feeling okay about this back here. I was feeling a little bit okay, but now there's 300, and we're going to go battle this big nation that has been holding us captive, that we've been fearful of, hiding in caves. The whole nation was hiding in caves because they felt they couldn't defeat them. And now 300 mighty warriors, mighty heroes are about to go. And I believe Gideon, as he's probably, I can't phrase this, I'm just guessing. Gideon's probably like, mighty warriors, mighty heroes, let's go. We've been told that there's victory. We've heard the dream. We're ready to go. It's going to be a little bit unorthodox, but I know God has given us the victory. It's in His strength, not ours. We see in Judges 6:34 that He is clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit comes just like our mission, our call can only happen through the unction, and so we can function through the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit came. That's why it's good. And so in that journey, we need to be people that are empowered, that are led, that are directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love this truth by Corrie Ten Boom. She says this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We know that God is with us. We know His promises are true. They are yes and amen. We know our God is victorious, that the Son died on a cross for us and He rose from the dead, that if the grave couldn't hold Him, what can? We know those truths. Now stand in those truths. I love what Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3 and 5. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Your life is a display and a demonstration of the goodness, the hope, and the power of our risen King. It's not about what strength you have. It's not about if you're enough or I'm enough or we're enough. It's about that He is more than enough. That's the strength we stand in. Finally, step out in obedience. So we've acknowledged it. We prayed about it. Then we stood on His truth. And finally, it gets to stepping out, that we would step out on obedience. It might be a baby step, it might be a shimmy, but this week, so in some area of your life, I want to challenge you, let's step. Step in obedience to what He's calling you to do, because with every step, your faith will grow. Every step that Gideon took, I believe the faith started to rise in him, and he's like, okay, we could do this. We're down to 300, we're on the mountainside, we're on the hillside, we're looking down. I don't know if we can do this, but I'm still going. And then God says, just, I want to reassure you. He goes down and hears the dream, and now he's like, we got this, let's go. Each step of obedience, each step in the right direction, in the Spirit's power, will increase the faith in us, increase the faith in our church, increase the faith in our city, increase the faith in our nation, and ultimately increase the faith across the globe. Will you take a step of obedience in the right direction, small or big? Today, that's what He's challenging you to do. He's calling you and me by name. Maybe not even a name that we're ready to say, yeah, that's me. He's saying, mighty warrior, mighty hero, I'm calling you out of hiding. I'm calling you out of the caves, and I'm calling you to purpose. I'm calling you to mission. I'm calling you out of addiction. I'm calling you out of doubt. I'm calling you out of fear, and I'm calling you into new life. That's what he's calling today. The choice comes down to us. Will we choose to step? Will we choose to say, no, I'm not letting fear hold me back anymore. I'm stepping out. Church, I don't know about you, but I want to step into the fullness of what God has for my life and for our church. It may be scary, but I'm ready to step. Are you? Don't let fear talk you out of what God's best for your life is.